morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I'm going to be with you for about 50 minutes. Now, I have a guy that I'm just going to tell you this. He is so talented, in my opinion, and it is my opinion, he's breathed new life back into, or brought a new vision for Barrington Stage Company. And we're going to be meeting. His name is Alan Paul, or that's what they told me anyhow, and that's I got to go with. But 1 minute before I get started, it was tax-free weekend in Massachusetts. And I just want to take my hat off to all the people that were involved working the tax-free weekend. Particularly were at a couple of places, they were swamped. Car Hardware, the new Manny's on the team there, Jim, Joe, Celeste, and Jane, they were swamped the whole time. We were in and out, saw so many people we knew. Raymore and Flanagan's, they were great. All the places that were offering really, Home Depot was great. In fact, the person told me, Home Depot, you got to take a ticket to get in. There's so many people. But thank you to the, this is also aimed at the people in our legislature and the governor who signed back into play tax-free weekend. It means a lot to a lot of people, and boy, the people came out. So thank you, Team Manny. Thank you, Raymore. Thank you, Home Depot. Thank you, every Car Hardware, everybody who had anything to do with Team Tax-Free Weekend. Now, getting back to that guy there, his name is Alan Paul. He has, I have to say this, and we were kind of hoping, but it doesn't look like it's going to work out. But if it comes back next year, you must, you know I don't always say these are must-sees, you must see Eisenhower. It was early in the season. Alan brought it in. A 90-minute show that I was mesmerized by the actor, by the lines, by the presentation. The entire production was... I was just telling Alan before we went on air, absolutely got to tell you, people who we saw there, and it's been, well, that was in the beginning of the season, your first production, we're still talking about it. We're still talking about it. That's how powerful a play it was. But I also heard, what was that other little play you did? Began with C. Oh, Camelot. How would... Another wonderful, wonderful production. You're doing a good job, kid.
Thank you.
So your season's off to a running start.
Yeah. Well, it's almost over. I mean, we began Eisenhower on June 3rd.
Was it that long? Oh, my God.
Now we're in the middle of August. And still going, but it's actually been a great summer, and we've sold a huge amount of tickets. Many, many things have been sold out, and we have another 6 weeks to go of some wonderful performances.
Yeah.
The summer continues.
Well, that's what's nice, because it used to be summer stock as you, and it, Labor Day came and everything shut down, and that's not the way it is anymore.
Yeah.
And I also have been hearing, and I'd like you to speak on this, Joan. People are telling me that is unbelievable.
Well, so we're doing a new play about the life of Joan Rivers. And it's been surprising to people because I think they know a lot about her from her stand-up. But she had a kind of amazing life full of, you know, extraordinary highs and tragedies.
Yeah.
And so a serious element to her story, but also it's interspersed with pieces from her act. And it's got some very salty language in it, which I cannot believe some of the jokes that she told 50 years ago that are, you know, make me on edge now. And sometimes the raunchier the joke, the bigger laugh it gets. And I'm thrilled that the audience here just loves that she was like the neighbor who said what you're thinking.
Yeah.
You didn't have the courage to say it, and she said it. But I think the interesting thing about Joan that people know, but I don't think they fully know, is that she broke a lot of glass ceilings in terms of women in stand-up comedy. I mean, there had been Phyllis Diller before her and a
Right.
couple others, but no one had really broken through to what she did. And I've been thinking recently about if you love The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, that's
Yeah.
a thinly veiled portrait of Joan in Greenwich Village in the 60s.
Yeah.
And of course, the success of Hacks, is very much like a Joan, it's based on Joan Rivers, even if they don't say it is. And so we're fascinated by her. And we have been just filling that theater, and there's a 1 week left. It plays through Sunday, August 17th. And you don't want to miss it, because I think in these really challenging times, just to be able to laugh is something that's a gift. And that's what she says in the show. I mean, there's serious elements. And it's a fascinating construct for a show, because two different women play Joan. There's a younger woman who plays young Joan, and then in the second half of the play plays Melissa Rivers, her daughter. And then there's a she's not older, but older than this woman, plays Joan's mother, and then she plays Joan, kind of the Joan that you know now. And they connect about mother daughter.
I'm a few decades older than you, and I can remember her on Johnny Carson. And you could tell that everybody was on pins and needles about. I interviewed someone, well, you know, and I know the wonderful, I called him the great one, Bill Finn. And you always sat with your finger on the kill button, and you know why, with Bill.
Well, Bill died earlier this
Oh,
summer.
I
And
know. What a
for your
tragedy.
audience that might not know his name, Bill Finn
Oh.
wrote some amazing Broadway musicals, like the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee, which began at Barrington Stage
Yes,
and
it did.
won the Tony Award for writing a musical called Falsettos and A New Brain, which we did. And we are actually honoring Bill on Tuesday, August 19th, a
Oh.
celebration of Bill Finn at the Boyd Quinson Theater. It is a really starry group of Broadway performers, Mary Testa, Chip Zion, and many others that are coming together to sing songs that he wrote. But along with that, Bill was a mentor to many young writers, and he started something with Julianne Boyd called the Musical Theater Lab at Barrington Stage. And he would bring in these
Amazing.
unschooled new writers and just put them on the stage and give them
Yep.
shows. And so part of the evening is we're bringing up six of the writers that he wrote
Oh.
with to perform their works that were inspired by Bill. And two of them are Michael R. Jackson, who wrote the Broadway musical A Strange Loop, and which won the Pulitzer Prize a few years ago, and Will Aronson, who just won a Tony Award for writing a musical that's currently on Broadway called Maybe Happy Ending. So it's going to be an amazing night of celebrating this
Yeah.
irreplaceable man in the theater, and especially our theater.
Yeah. And I did. Whenever I'd have him on the show, whenever I saw him, I always referred to him as the great one. And I don't call a lot of people great. But he, gifted, talented, could be edgy, but never mean.
No, a great soul.
Oh,
Yeah,
what
but
a.
Bill Finn and Joan Rivers in the same summer. But I think that people they want to laugh. They don't want to worry about being politically correct.
No.
What's funny, and the thing about Joan is that she just says the thing you're thinking with no correctness at all, and it's a relief. And there is strong language in the show. So if you come to it, know that it's going to be Joan Rivers, but that you're gonna like it. And there's so many great jokes that we've taken from appearances on Carson, appearances, the show was commissioned and is executive produced by Melissa, her daughter.
Yeah.
So, Melissa has had her hands all over this, and it's a real
Oh,
tribute
good.
to Joan and to her legacy.
Well, I applaud you in for the courage to bring it on.
Yeah, well, you got to do new things here, and you've got to
That's
shake it up. You got to shake it up a little bit, and you got to take some risks and shake the trees. And what's been interesting for me about the show is that I'm very much connected to the loyal audience to the theater,
Yeah.
what they like. But there have been so many faces of people I don't know that are coming to the theater for the first time because they know the name Joan Rivers. And I think a lot of people in the area that might not come have really showed up. And so
I believe so.
I'm really thrilled about the attendance, and getting some new people in the door is an excellent feeling.
Just to caveat on that a little bit, at Eisenhower, I saw people, and I even at one of them, I said, I've not seen you. He said, no, it's the first time I've come. The guy's lived here his whole life. But he a history buff.
Eisenhower, for those that didn't get to see it, we had a one man
Oh.
show, our 34th, I believe, President Eisenhower,
Yeah.
starring John Rubinstein, who was the original Pippin in his upper 70s. He's had a long career in the theater and TV and film. And he had done this show at other theaters. And I approached him about coming to do it here for a week in early June. It's the only time he could do it.
Yeah.
He had a special affinity for the Berkshires because his father was the great Arthur Rubinstein, the pianist.
Yeah.
And so he grew up going to
Tanglewood.
every summer at Tanglewood. He had met every president since, whatever the first president was,
Yeah.
and had an amazing life in show business. And what I had fun doing this year is that I did three shows that were about power and leadership at the same time. We did Eisenhower, along with a show in the smaller theater called NA, which was about the imagined relationship between Nancy Pelosi and AOC. And then along with that, we did Camelot, which is, of course, the story of King Arthur's, idea of a round table. And it was fun to do those pieces together because I don't want the theater to get political, but I do think that government and leadership is on everyone's mind. And it was fun to put those three shows together and see what discussion they could have as a unit. And it was fun to have Eisenhower and NA playing at the same time, because two very different perspectives on where we've been and where we're going. And that was fun for me to just, I got nervous by the time we did it, thinking, oh, you've programmed all this political stuff. You're be prepared for hate mail, fan mail,
Oh, yeah,
whatever.
I get it.
But no, we got no mail. It was
Yeah.
interesting. Nothing at all.
That's wonderful. And again, you should be able to. This is America, and people don't have, if they don't want to see it, don't go. But Eisenhower was packed about every night.
Yeah, I mean, if we could. I didn't know because it's a one-man show.
Yeah.
Well-known actor, but not a famous actor. But
Right.
I thought, well, let's just do seven or eight performances and see if we can fill it. Not thinking
Oh.
it would be. And the problem is, if you run a show for only a week, the Berkshires is all about word of mouth. And if they hate the show, they stay away in droves. But if they like it, they just will show up. And so Eisenhower, we couldn't, but the great thing about Camelot is that it played for 4 weeks and the audience just built and built and
Built and
built
built.
and built. And it's an amazing feeling when you're up here doing it, because it's actually a terrible feeling if the show isn't good, because you go to Guido's and people don't look at you. They go, oh God. Or they'll, I had a comment about a show last summer. And an opening night, someone walked up to me. I never forget this. Said, "It's so funny. I love the show, and my best friend said it was terrible."
Oh.
And so you're always dealing with people's feeling about it. But if it's good and people love it, you go to the bar at Jay's, or you go somewhere, and everyone is so thrilled for you and to be a part of
Yeah.
it. It's a
Well,
wonderful.
I'm very thrilled. We went out with a couple of board members a while back, and I said, what I said at the beginning of the show, new eyes, fresh eyes. It's not a put down to anybody, but you're taking a different path. Let's face it. I mean, you brought things in that, like you said, they could have been real good or they could have been a flop. But that took courage.
Well,
And I think what you're doing, and I don't say this, Ellen, for any other reason to say, you're courageous, and what you brought in and what we have seen has been terrific.
thank you. I mean, it's been interesting for me because I have taken a lot of risks this summer.
Yeah.
We did a musical about grieving and a sick parent called Fuzzy, which told this very
Yeah.
serious story through two puppets.
Yeah.
And now, if that doesn't sound like the least commercial thing you can think of, let me know what you think would sell
Yeah.
less tickets. And I believed in it because I thought it was moving. And we literally had a wait list of 40 people for every single performance in the last week. And it's a testament to the audience in the Berkshires that they're adventurous. They want to see something that's risk-taking. They want to be a part of the first draft of a new piece, and it's great. And the fun thing for me is because the first half of the summer, first two-thirds have gone well, but we still have a couple things coming
Oh
up.
no, we're gonna get to all that.
We'll get
One
to.
last thing I want to thank you for, this again, the celebration of the Black Voices.
Yes.
That was just last night,
Well, it
yesterday,
was over
weekend.
the weekend, and
Yeah.
Celebration of Black Voices is a celebration of the Black artists in our community, by them and for them. And so we did it this year on the Common in
Yeah.
downtown Pittsfield, and we had an amazing array of local gospel choir, local singers, local talent shows, kids, and it's amazing what a rich community there is in Pittsfield, and to be celebrated even more. And I've already got excited about what we're going to do next summer. And the woman who runs it, Sharon McLean, is a wonderful community leader, and she did a great job.
Yeah, spectacular. I want to ask you, coming up, King James.
Yes.
What's that?
King James begins performances on
Tomorrow.
August 12th and plays through the end of the month. It's a really fascinating play by a playwright named Rajib Joseph.
Okay.
It's about these two men. One's a bar owner who has season tickets in Cleveland the year that LeBron James comes to town. And the other is a man who shows up to buy the season tickets. And it follows 14 years of their friendship. It's for anyone out there that is a fan of a sport and puts their hopes and dreams and aspirations in a team. Their ups and downs of their friendship are the ups and downs of what happens to LeBron, who eventually does leave Cleveland to go to Florida, and then what happens when he comes back. And it's the many layers of their friendship, the evolution of this bar, and what happens to the two of them. It's a comedy. I call it a bromance. Because how often do you see a play about two men that are friends that love basketball? And it's, of course, if you're a sports fan, you'll like it, but it's so much more than it's not a play about sports. It's a play
Right.
of bonding over a team
Humanity, we call it.
and community, whatever that is. It could be that you bond over the theater, but we had the dress rehearsal last night. It's a wonderful production.
Wow.
It's in many ways, it's one of our best shows last. So I'm really thrilled about that piece, and it's selling really well. I mean,
Oh, good. I it,
it's
you
beginning to
know,
sell out.
I say this to the neighbors. I say this to the all the people that watch and listen to this show. There is nothing, in my opinion, than live performances, whether it's a concert or a play, whatever, or sports. It's like a sports game, you know.
Yeah.
You can go see, and I've done this. I bring it up again. Freud's Last Session. If
Yeah.
I've seen that once, I've seen that 10 times. Every time was different.
Yeah.
Same actors, same scripts, it's, and he's one of the best in the theater, and that's my
Here's
opinion.
a Mark Saint Germain, the writer.
Yeah, and you.
Oh,
Because
man.
you know who picks the, you know.
I do, which is the problem, because if it's great, I feel great about it. And if it's bad, it's my
Yeah.
fault.
And you know, I have to tell you too, what's the sign? And you know, a lot of the people when I do these shows like to say they want to know how do actors prepare and blah blah blah. And I guess I would ask you, how do you pick shows? What it's what do you use as just a you must get I don't even want to guess how many plays to read. And how do you say, well, you know what, I'm gonna go with this. Joan, how did you pick Joan?
Well, that was an easy one because the writer had shared the idea with me 2 years ago, and I happened to be a big Joan Rivers fan.
No, I was
And
too.
I said, let us do the world premiere. And the writer said, we're already committed to doing it at South Coast Repertory Theater, just outside of LA. And so they were going to do a world premiere. And I flew out in November to see the world premiere. And I liked it so much that by the end of the show, I found the artistic director of South Coast Rep in the lobby and said, we're going to bring the whole production here. I want all the actors, I want the set, I want the costumes, and I want you. Love it. And so that was a big financial decision I made on a whim,
Yeah.
but that's all it is, Bill, is you I try to every time I program something that I'm not excited about, but I think people will like, it's never a big success. I mean, it's fine.
Yeah.
But every time I go, you know what, I really like this. I'm gonna do it because I believe in it. People get excited. I mean, they can feel that and they feel it too.
Well, and I think too, again, you're not afraid to take the first step. You know, Joan, that was the you loved it. It was great. But then you're coming back to parochial New England, right? I mean, it is what it is, but yet this is the talk of the town in the positive sense.
I don't know. I didn't even think about it. I was nervous when I saw the show in California because it's an older audience, even at that theater. And Joan would say famous lines like she said on the Carson show. She said,
Yeah.
no man ever stuck his hand up a woman's skirt looking for a library card.
Yeah.
And she said it on Carson. It's in the show. And I'm looking around thinking this audience is just gonna freeze. They're not gonna. And the more stuff she said like that, the louder they laughed.
Yeah.
It's just proof that it's the laughter of that is such a release.
And what a gifted, you know, I'm certainly not an actor or anything. I love good theater. What a wonderful actor you have playing Joan to be able to deliver those lines like she
Well,
has.
that took a lot of work.
She
The
did.
actor is named Tessa Auberjonois, and I haven't known her that well for a long time, but her father was the legendary TV and film and stage actor René
Sure.
Auberjonois. And I knew him from my days in Washington, and I considered him a friend. And so when I realized that she would be playing Joan, there was some old school part of my just relationship to René and to his really important legacy. And I was very honored that she wanted to come do it. And she has an intense job because, I mean, that voice Joan Rivers has is a gravelly sort of
Piercing.
intonation. And also, Melissa would sit with Tessa and critique it and give her pointers about phrasing and
Oh,
diction.
wow.
And so, but it's very difficult to do capture the spirit of Joan Rivers without it being an impersonation.
Right.
No, and that's she does that really well. She gets the spirit of her right, that you're not sitting there disconnected going, she's not Joan. You're with her. That's very hard to achieve that, and she does a great job.
That's what I've heard from numerous people who have seen it, and that it's her. I mean, as a friend of mine said the other day, so he said, "Bill, you got to see it because it's Joan Rivers." And I didn't have the heart to tell him she had passed, but seriously, what a tribute to the actress, to the production. And again, we have, for us, for all of us, I'm speaking to the audience. We have to support these things. We have to buy the tickets. We have to go. And when you have someone like Alan, who's talented and gifted, in my opinion, and can select these, and I'll for lack of a better term, cutting edge, because they are. But then what did he do? He reached out and he plucked in Camelot.
Yeah, well, you gotta give people something that they want. You gotta give them a little traditional with a little edge. And the thing about Camelot that was interesting is people, what they love the most, more than the story, is the singing. And we had three wonderful singers, and
Yes.
it just reminded me that people want great music and great singing, and they want to hear a great score in a classic musical, and that when they got it, they loved it. So I was it's just a reminder of how important
Yep.
the music is.
There was a fellow who was visually impaired.
Yeah.
I've told a story on air before. So he had some tickets, and he went, and he was also a jokester. Like, he would walk across the parking lot and get in the driver's side of the car with the white cane. People would be, but. And I like to tell all actors, even seasoned actors, because sometimes I think they forget. He went to see a musical and he said, "Well, Bill, the singing was unbelievable. The music was fantastic. And the dancing." And I thought he was pulling my leg. But he said, "While I couldn't see it, I could feel it."
Yeah.
And that's a that to me is one of the gifts of live theater. You can feel it. You can
Well said.
if I tell people, and you've heard me say this before, when you go to see a live performance, bundle up all your cares and worries, tie a little bow on it, leave it outside the door, and go and open up to what's happening on stage.
Yeah.
Listen, view, and when you come out, don't worry, no one's done anything. You'll have all of the same worries, but you will have had on 90 minutes, an hour, 2 hours of relaxation. So I wanted to ask you too, you have coming up in September 16th to October the 12th. Now I'm going to get emails saying, Bell, it's only August. What are you talking about September for? Because I want people to be aware, Alan's a hard guy to get a hold of. And that's because he's so busy. But what about what's weekend?
It's called The Weekend.
The weekend.
It's a new play that's the fall show at Barrington Stage, and I love it. It's The Weekend, and the other title is A Stockbridge Story. So the
Okay.
writer is a man named Ben Discant, who lives in New York, but he grew up, his family has a home on Lake Mackinac, and he grew up coming to the Berkshires every weekend. So he loves the area, and it's a kind of ode to Stockbridge and the Berkshires. And what it's about, two brothers, the older brother has a wife, and the younger brother is lost his way in life. And he joins the family for a weekend in the Berkshires and realizes that his long lost love is next door.
Oh.
And it's about a very consequential weekend for all four of these people, dealing with the past,
Yeah.
dealing with love, dealing with relationships. It's a beautiful play, and it's a perfect play for the fall. And
Whoa.
it's a perfect play if you love the Berkshires, which
Yeah,
you all
yeah.
are.
Yeah.
And so, and the play takes place over a fall weekend. And everyone here knows Lake Mackinac and what those homes are like, and so the Berkshires is a big character in the piece, and that's why I wanted to do it.
Well, thanks for doing that. And one of the things too, that you brought back to life, I think. Or not brought back, but have again a new shot in the arm of life. And that's the cafe there, Bill Finn's
Yeah,
Cafe.
the 90-seat cabaret venue. We
Yeah.
sold everything out this summer, and there's amazing people coming up.
Oh, absolutely. I tried to get out. My wife said, well, let's go to this one. What's her name? Well, I hit the thing and sold out. So, I mean, I'm happy for you.
Yeah, we have upcoming Andrea McArdle, who
Yes.
the original Annie, Julie Banca, who came last summer. Julie was the understudy for Fanny Brice in the recent revival of Funny Girl. She's
Oh.
a comic, such a good performer, amazing singer, and she had a sold-out night last year, and she's coming back for two. Tom Kitt, the writer of Next to Normal and Almost Famous, and so many Broadway musicals, is coming up. And also, we have a great actress named Elizabeth Stanley, who played Mother in Ragtime.
Wow.
She was going to perform in July and got COVID, and so she's been rescheduled to September. And she's an exceptional talent.
Well, I'm very familiar. That used to be the Veterans of Foreign Wars
Oh,
Lodge.
you bet.
Yeah, I'm kind of familiar with that. But what you've done with it, we've only been in a few times, but it's a wonderful venue to for like you like you're the star the not stars the well stars but the entertainers you're bringing in.
Oh, amazing. The best of Broadway.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing that I think people will love is actually going to be in the larger theater, the Boyd Quinson. We're doing from August 28th to the 31st, the first ever evening of music by Aarons and Flaherty. And you might not have heard their names before, but they are the composer and lyricist of Ragtime, which is about to go back to Broadway, of Seussical, of My Favorite Year, of the great Broadway musical Once on This Island, of the Broadway musical Rocky. And they've never allowed their songs to be put together in an evening. And they finally let Barrington Stage do it. And we have some great Broadway performers, and it's just a celebration of these composer and lyricist who are extraordinary. And so if you haven't bought a ticket already, it's called Something Beautiful. And it's a good title because I think it is a beautiful night of musical theater that'll be a perfect end to your summer, August 28th to 31st.
And folks, we're going to take a break. We're going to be back. Alan is you can tell, he's enthusiastic about what he's doing or what has been done, and to me that is infectious. I mean, I love having him on because he makes me excited to run upstairs and start getting to with the big boss. Because I've been married 54 years. I haven't made an independent decision in 54 years, but I'm really asking you, and I've got a reputation for this. If you've never been to a live performance, make it a point to go this summer,
Yeah.
because once you do. And I owe it to a lady. I owe going to Shakespeare and Company to a lady by the name of Kathy Yan, who was an advanced English teacher, honors English in the system. Kathy Yan said Shakespeare was never meant to be read; it was meant to be acted.
Yeah.
Because when we had it in school, we read it.
Yeah.
And if you were like fourth in line, and that particular person was Juliet, and you were the football player, you play Juliet, and it kind of lost its not, but what I'm telling you is she was right. And now I try not to miss any of those plays or any plays, because everyone I learned something from. And that goes back a long time to people who used the theater to change things. And they did it at risk sometimes. We'll be right back. I'm here with Alan Paul, a wonderful individual. No, he didn't pay me to say that. I said it on my own, but just make the check out the cash. We'll be right back. This is WTBR 89.7 FM. on your radio dial, also simulcasting on PCTV channel 1301. You'll be happy to know that we broadcast now down into southern Berkshire, very deep in the southern Berkshire. We expanded the broadcast area. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Hey, it's Sean from WTBR FM. Whether you just found this station for the first time or you've been listening for years, you might not know everything about WTBR FM. Want to find out more? It's easy. Just go to WTBRFM.com. You can find full programming schedules, listen to the station anywhere in the world, subscribe to our podcasts, and even learn to create a program of your own. And of course, donate to the station. That's WTBRFM.com. Check it out today.
Greetings, this is John Pollock, host of The Jazz Train, which comes your way every Saturday night from 10 to 11:30. The Jazz Train generally features music recorded on a particular calendar date in years past and provides relevant commentary and discographical details. So why not join me for a ride on the Jazz Train for a weekly musical adventure, coming to you on 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we are back. The good-looking guy, no, it's not me. Thanks for thinking that. His name is Alan Paul. He is the artistic director of Barrington Stage. And I will tell you, I don't know Alan real well, but what I do know, and I believe about him, he's gifted, he's talented, and he's brought new vision to Barrington Stage. And that's not to say anything about the old vision. All I'm saying is some of the plays he's brought on, and because we're a morning show, a lickety-split through some of them. But one thing I want to say right now, before I forget, because most of you know, I forget where the car is. So they have the old VFW, for those people from Pittsfield, is part of Barrington Stage now. And they have Mr. Finn's Theater. It's just an intimate place. And all I would say to you is date night, you young people, date night. Think about going there. It's an intimate place. They bring in top-notch entertainers from all Broadway and other areas. But I just think if you like a date night, that would be a perfect thing. Another, let me say, as a promotion to all of our theatrical venues in Berkshire County, what a great date night that is. If you've never been to a live performance, please treat yourself. So, Alan, I want you to go back because there's so many people watch this program and listen that were huge fans of Bill Finn.
Yeah.
And you've got a celebration of life coming on August 19th.
Yes.
Bill Finn. And as I said in the earlier part of the show, I used to call Bill Finn the great one because, in my opinion, he was a living genius, not only himself in writing, but discovering other geniuses and bringing them along.
Well, I think you're right about that. And there's so many writers like Joe Iconis, who unfortunately can't be there that night. But as I mentioned, Will Aronson, who wrote Maybe Happy Ending and won a Tony Award, and Michael R. Jackson, who, you know, won the Pulitzer Prize for A Strange Loop, that they're going to be a part of the event. And I think that Bill's legacy will live on through not only his work and the great musicals like Falsettos and Spelling Bee that you know, but through the work of these people and the legacy of musical theater. So I hope we're raising money on behalf of new musicals at Barrington Stage Company, which I hope you'll buy a ticket and come and support that. And by doing that, you'll be supporting Barrington doing a lot of new musicals in the future, which I think is my big dream about the company and why I came to Massachusetts.
And there's something special about a musical that's done well.
Yeah, they're often not done well. So
I know, but that's why I caveated that. They did many years ago West Side Story at Barrington. And I have to tell you, it was spectacular.
that's what I heard.
It was spectacular. And you just did Camelot, and that got rave reviews, dude.
I was thrilled.
Yeah, well, that's a credit. And again, for the folks that are just tuning in, we're a morning show, so we have people putting kids on a bus, taking kids off the bus, getting kids to camp. Camelot, tell the folks again why you brought Camelot in, because I think that part of the story was beautiful.
I'm glad you remember. Camelot is about enlightened leadership in a time that is, well, the Dark Ages, when there wasn't that. And he, King Arthur, had an idea of a round table, which was round because there were no priorities. If no one was better than anyone else, there was no head of the table. Who's going to be at the head? We'll make it a round table so there is no head. So
There is
it
none.
was about equality and democracy. And I felt the need to do a musical about that, which we all really care about. So I was so glad that it was received with the care and reverence and everything like that, and that the piece, which is written in the early 60s and many consider old-fashioned, was not old-fashioned at all. It was contemporary, and I'm
Very.
so happy people felt that way too.
Now, when you and this is a question I who's do you select the actors?
Yes.
So that's part of an artistic
Yeah.
director job.
Well, I happen to be the director of Camelot, but
Yeah.
if not, I will work with the director of whatever the piece is, and we'll, I have veto power, is all I'll say.
You know, it's taken me a lot to have you say that. I had to drag it out of you. Oh, and I was the director.
Yeah.
Duh. 38 minutes it took to get that out of you. There. What can I say? The guy is talented. He's an artistic director. He's a director. But Camelot is everybody that saw it raved about it, and that's a not to embarrass you, but that's a tribute to you.
Oh, thanks.
Well, it is. I mean, you're in that business. You know good directors and bad directors.
Yep.
I won't tell you what actor one time told me, because it used to be he was at Barrington. He said he worked for one director that the best thing he could have done was sweep the stage, because he took the spontaneity out of the characters. And I don't see you doing that.
Thanks.
And according to everyone who saw Camelot, they agree with me. So, and
There
that's,
you go.
there you go. Yeah. So, but when you start looking for, and I know this is a little premature, but I want to get it for the audience. It's like I said, they like to know the backstory too. When you start looking next year, what are you going to look for?
I have a list that I'm not going to show you of 25 different things that I'm thinking of doing. It's hard to make a decision. I mean,
Oh, I don't know how you do it.
I'm intimidated by my list over there because it's too many ideas, and I'm going to start to make them very soon.
But when someone comes to you with a play that you're not familiar with and you sit down and read it, what are you looking
I
for?
make a very quick decision,
Oh.
usually no, and when it's a yes right away. I'm not looking for anything except something that I think is good writing. And as you can tell from the eclectic nature of the programming, there's
Yeah.
not one kind of play or musical. We're doing really anything that I like. And I look for things where the writer has a point of view. I look for things that are exciting. I look for things I think the audience will like. I loved a show called Eisenhower because it wasn't a history lesson. It was engaging, and yet you got a lot out of it. And I think that
Yes.
theater, should be an intellectual experience after the fact, but when you're in there, it should be an emotional one. So, I don't know a good play till I read it, and then I've turned down a lot of things that other people have gone on to do. And I always get a little regret when I see that something I turned down is getting a major production. And it's not very often I'm jealous because usually I still don't like it.
Yeah. Well, there's not liking something. They're saying, this is nice, but it's not for me. I do that when I go into stores. Like, my wife will say, "Well, why don't you get this?" It's no, I don't want it. It's not me. But when you select actors, like, so let's say Camelot. When you selected the actors for Camelot, how did you do that?
It's tough. Casting is the most important thing and the thing I deliberate over more than anything else because you can only, have who you have. And I lucked out in that I had an incredible King Arthur. I had a Guinevere that's a beautiful singer, and a Lancelot that just everyone was talking about him and how fabulous he was. And I'm grateful to them all for being as talented as they are and sharing their talents here.
And I guess too, the thing, and I say this all the time to actors, you're some of the most resilient people I know.
They have to be. The amount of rejection in an actor's daily life is it's pretty abnormal for a normal person. And
Right.
they have to, well, all of us in this business, there's a lot of rejection. And it's a tough thing to grapple with that, and but you do.
Well, yeah, I mean, somebody goes, and I know a couple of actors, and they're successful, but they're not stars. And they said that what they do is they give it their best, and if they get the call to come back, good. But if not, they go on to the next adventure. And to me, like I said, I've interviewed them now, what, 20 years I've been doing this. To me, it's they're the most resilient people I know. I mean, like you said, you go and you give it 100% at the audition, and the phone doesn't ring when you go home.
That's the tragedy of our business.
So, when you think about all that you've done to get to where you are, what's been the most beneficial thing for you personally to get to where you are?
In terms of,
Your own growth.
I just listen to my instincts. It's true for anyone. You have success when you listen to the little voice that says do it or don't do it, and every time I haven't, it's because I it usually was something I had a pang about that I didn't listen to. And I just think the older you get, the more experienced, the more in tune you are with yourself. And that's how I feel, because in my job everyone else has an opinion that about what I do that they're not afraid to share. So I have to be confident in my choices to either defend or to agree, and or I'd be just always swayed by everyone's opinion. And that's not an easy thing either, but I've learned.
And I think too, I've always when and I get criticized who my the guest I have on, the questions I've asked,
Everyone.
everything. And what I've learned is I have to do the best I can do for my guest and for me, and be above board and honest. I mean, I guess it's the same with you. You go with your head and your heart, and you say, "I hope, this is my best decision for this particular play."
You live with it.
And what else can you do?
What else? There you go, Bill. Exactly.
What else can you do? I mean, you can beat yourself that I should have done that. West Side Story. Why didn't I do West Side? There's somebody saying that to themselves. But next year,
stay tuned.
Stay tuned, because, and I know it's going to be exciting. And we still, let's go down one more time what we have left this year.
So what you need to see this summer, above and everything else, is the writers Lynn Ahrens and Stephen Flaherty that wrote Ragtime, Seussical, Once on This Island, are allowing Barrington Stage for the first time ever to do an evening celebrating their songs. It's one of the great living composer lyricists of Broadway. Incredible music. And August 28th to 31st, it's a musical review called Something Beautiful. You don't want to miss it. And we have two wonderful plays coming up. King James, which begins performances August 12th, about LeBron James and being a fan, two guys and their friendship. And then a wonderful world premiere in the fall called The Weeknd, which begins performances in mid-September, that is about the Berkshires and testament and ode to the Berkshires. Right. And playing through August 17th is Joan, a new play about Joan Rivers, which is just, you know, hitting all these box office records. People are loving it. They're laughing, and you don't want to miss it. So if you haven't gone yet, you have a couple days left to see it. And I think you'll have a great time. And she's quite a character. So I hope to see you all at the theater for any number of those performances. They're all worth attending.
And really and truly, I will tell you what I've been hearing. Joan is just unbelievable.
Don't miss Joan.
Don't miss Joan. I mean, you missed Camelot and you missed Eisenhower.
Anything about that, but you can come to Joan.
That's right. It's like being rejected for a play. You missed it. But the one thing I will say is hopefully, at my encouragement and your encouragement, keep poking Alan to try to get Eisenhower back next
year. Okay, noted.
Yes.
I'm going to work on that now.
Yes, because really and truly, the actor, I mean, I was mesmerized, and that takes a lot to mesmerize me. Wow. His delivery, his command of the lines was the verbiage was unbelievable. We're getting close to Alan has to go, but one of the things I do want to say to you, to all of the viewers and listeners, is don't miss an opportunity to see Joan or anything else that's coming up. And really and truly, I've said it before, and, you know, I'm an old man, I repeat myself, but when you get to be 78, you can repeat yourself too. Once you see a live production, a good one, and I don't think Barrington puts out bad ones or any of the venues in Berkshire County, but once you see a live theater, you will be doing it forever. You will be doing it forever. I know one couple, and then I'll let you go, Alan. One couple, if they ever pay full price for a ticket, I will drop dead of a heart attack. Because they go to every, what do you call it, the practice shows, I call them, in the beginning. You know, the reduced tickets. What do they call those?
Previews.
Previews, thank you. See what I mean? Mine's a terrible thing to lose, and mine's gone. With that, I'm going to say to my friend, goodbye. Thank you so much.
Bill, a pleasure, and I look forward to seeing you all at the theater.
And I'm sorry the time got away from me. I apologize. Folks, stay tuned. Bye. Thank you, and break a leg, man.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, folks. So I got a couple of announcements that I do want to make. One is, I've noticed, and maybe it's just me, but and what I would like you to try to do on your own a little bit is not be so critical of everything and everybody. The world's kind of gotten a mean place, and it's kind of sad that it's like that. And I try never to be mean on this program. I hope I never have been mean. And I've had people on that they have a right to be on. They have a right to be on. This is Pittsfield Community Radio. I don't have to agree with them, but it is Pittsfield Community Radio. And consequently, I look forward to having those folks on. And I also look forward to what's happening in the world and what can we do to make Pittsfield and Berkshire County a better place. And as I started the show off, I am so pleased, and I really am pleased with the results and the success of Tax-Free Weekend. Now, it may not seem like a big deal to a lot of people, but I know people who saved up to get things and got them. And there were some good prices, great people. But I also want to hail the people. The people who worked it, worked the Tax-Free Weekend. It was, to say in a lot of places it was a zoo would be an insult to zoos. But the other piece is saying thank you to the legislature, to our local delegation for voting to bring it back to the governor, because it generated a lot of revenue within the system, but it also gave a lot of people an opportunity to buy something that they might not be able to afford with the taxes. So I know I'm on a tangent with that, but it's a tangent because I just saw so many happy people buying things. Happy that they could do it. Oh, whether it's a washing machine or a microwave or lumber or whatever, they were doing it. So thank you to, again, the legislature and the governor and all the people who had anything to do with it. And thank you to all of the people that worked the Tax-Free Weekend. A couple of things, too. I do want to also really thank, and I haven't had an opportunity to do this, so I'd like to take this. The 4th of July parade, I thought I enjoyed it. I always do. And I think the people who helped organize it and helped make it happen, thank you. Thank you very much, because it's a volunteer group and they do a wonderful job. So with that said, I'm going to call it a day. I do want to thank everybody for that watches and listens to this program. And I see you on the street, and it means so much when you come up to me and say that you like the program. And even if you come up, I had one guy come up and say he likes the program, he just didn't like the guest. But just what I just said, we are Pittsfield Community Radio. We are Pittsfield Community Television. That guest has a right to be on. Gotcha. With that, let me say God bless. And remember, lift somebody's burden today. Make somebody laugh. Call somebody on the phone you haven't talked to. Make up with somebody you might have had a kerfuffle with. We never know when the call is going to come for us to leave this earth. Don't have that guilt on your conscience that you were mad at somebody, especially a family member. That said, God bless. Let's take care of each other. Why? Each other in this world, each other, that's all we have. Talk to you next time. And thank you so much for listening and viewing. And remember, make somebody laugh today.